This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. We'll do a little stakes recap to start things out, a little handicapping, and then we'll wrap up early because, again, early post time at Aqueduct 11:50. I think by next week we'll start to get a feel for what the winter season post time will be. I mean, they're really all fall bouncing around down there in New York, but I find it hard to believe that over the winter season they'll hold to the 10-race schedule. Now, maybe they'll try. Hopefully they'll be successful. I just wonder about horse population and things like that as we really get into the dead of winter down in New York. And as I say, I think they'll maybe firm up, a 12:20, something like that post time, which will mean we'll be right back at our regular schedule. So, again, I think we'll get a feel for that next week. Obviously, the past few weeks, we've had some stakes action. Yesterday, big stakes action with an early start at Aqueduct of 11:30 and 11:50 again today. But we'll see. We'll get the feel next week. And if it's still some early starts, we may kick to a little bit of an earlier start over the winter season as well, but we'll play that by ear. Again, this morning, though, we'll just kind of wrap early because with the 11:50 start, typically they've been starting talking horses down there at 10:40, 10:45, so we'll try to wrap in time to get you to the pregame show down at Aqueduct. Before we get to the stakes recaps, let me remind you that today is an NFL Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Love to see you down here to watch all the football action and enjoy all the racing action as well. Football Sundays every Sunday throughout the NFL season here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. We are also a drop-off point for Toys for Tots. Bring an unwrapped toy. We have a box right out by our front entrance. You can drop it in the Toys for Tots box, put a smile on the face of a youngster for the Christmas season, and that is what it's all about. So again, Toys for Tots drop-off point right here at the Clubhouse Racebook. All right, let's jump in and go. First, excuse me, before we go to stakes recaps, let me talk a little bit about the Empire Six, which had the mandatory pay yesterday. They were just under $600,000 going into the day, $585,000 in the pool. Pool wound up $3.6 million. So, again, they chunked in millions of dollars. $6,384 plus for the 20-cent increment, $6,384 and change. So it was a nice little payoff for your 20-cent wager. And, I put a little ticket together. I found it a tough sequence. You either were going to do what I did, put a little ticket together and cross your fingers, or put kind of a monster ticket together, maybe get some friends. Hopefully you did that, or monstered up yourself a little bit. And I don't even know if you necessarily had to monster, as it turned out. Spice Perfection, I made her a single just because I wanted my ticket pared down a little bit. You certainly could have singled Maximum Security. I wasn't that bold. I thought it was Spun to Run in there. I thought you had to use those two, but I can certainly see plenty of people having singled Maximum Security. So there was a couple of potential singles which would have allowed you to go a little bit deeper in some of the other races. And really, there was only two races where I think you had to go deeper. First race paid $21. That, to me, was a one where I think you, both of the horses that you would have to chase a little bit, I think were playable. But you, I think you probably would have had to use a little bit of a deeper strategy in those races. So the opening leg, $21, then a $4.80 horse, $4.80 horse, $10.80 for Lake Avenue. That's an overlay on the win price. Lake Avenue, to me, was a horse that was very playable yesterday. The $10.80 was generous on the win end, but I can see that having bet on a lot of Empire tickets as just a logical play. 1960 for Shotsky. Shotsky was one that, again, I think you probably would have had to play around with a little bit in the race to get a little bit deeper in there. 1960, and then maximum security, $4.60. So we had three horses under $5. As I say, the $10 on Lake Avenue I thought was generous. So it was really the opening leg at $21, Shotsky at $19. And you put those two in the mix, and $6,300 for your Empire 6 ticket. So as I say, hopefully a number of folks out there in the audience cashed, brought some of that money up here to the Capital District, and we'll jump in and play again today. I'll do a little handicapping, in fact, in the next segment. But let's start things out with some stakes recaps, taking a look at the Cigar Mile. And again, it's fun to get into December, have some eclipse implications. Maximum security, I'm sure for a lot of folks, was already the three-year-old leader with Code of Honor, having stumbled in the Breeders' Cup Classic, stumbled figuratively in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Maximum security, I think for a lot of people, as I say, already maybe the three-year-old Eclipse leader, but a win in the Cigar Mile was going to really put the emphasis on the resume and make it hard to go beyond him. Dave Grenig's article in Racing Form last night quoted both Gary West and Jason Service as saying, well, I think he has to be the three-year-old champ. To me, it's a slam dunk at this point. I'll be interested to see what the actual voting turns out, but it's hard to go by Maximum Security now. DQ'd out of the Kentucky Derby, but I still think people can kind of factor that talent into their ballot, Eclipse ballot. But then wins the Grade 1 Haskell. He'd already won the Grade 1 Florida Derby earlier this year. Beats Older in the Grade 3 Bold Ruler with a nice triple-digit buyer. And I haven't seen the buyers yet for yesterday, but this is going to be a nice performance here. We're going to take a look at the stretch run. Number 5, Maximum Security. I had him underneath. I thought Spun to Run came in good form. The number 6 horse, top of the stretch. It looked like we were going to get that duel, but no. Maximum Security says, I'm done. I'm done with this duel, and he runs away. Chart margin winds up 3.5. Spun to Run clearly holds on for second by another couple of lengths. And True Timber, who I mentioned yesterday as maybe being a little bit interesting for Kieran, winds up third at 32-1. So a nice third-place finish there. Disappointment maybe is Whitmore, who ran seventh as, the fourth choice at 9-1. Third choice wound up to be looking at Bikinis at 8-1. He winds up running fourth in there, just getting nipped at the wire by the long shot, True Timber. But Maximum Security, he just looked phenomenal. Again, he and Spun to Run, plenty of early speed. Would one of them take back? Would one of them go? But it was a duel. Fractions 22 and change, 46 and change, 111 plus, and then 136.46. for the final time. And again, I haven't seen a buyer there yet. Be interested to see that. But Maximum Security now, the Grade 1 Haskell, the Grade 1 Florida Derby, the Grade 1 Cigar against Older, and a really nice field as well. As I say, to me, as far as the Eclipse Awards, he seems like a complete slam dunk. Nice season from Spun to Run. I said yesterday, it would have been interesting to see what happened with that three-year-old Eclipse, because he was kind of an afterthought in the conversation, even for me. It wasn't until later in the day where I started to think, you know what? If Spun to Run won that race yesterday, he would have to have come into the conversation. Winning a Breeders' Cup race, Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, a Grade 1 event, and then the Grade 1 Cigar, he certainly would have been a player along with Code of Honor and Maximum Security. But that question did not have to be answered because Maximum Security, as I say, with the win yesterday, to me, slam dunk. We'll see what the you know, Eclipse voters do in a few weeks. But I think he probably put the emphasis on his year. And kind of validated, as they say, along with Spun to Run, perhaps, at the end of the year, validated that there was some talent in that three-year-old crop, which otherwise was a little bit quiet this year. As they were taking turns, and there was upsets and whatnot, but there was some decent performances at the end of the year that kind of said, and you throw Code of Honor in with that as well in the Jockey Club. There was some three-year-old performances that kind of said, hey, you know, that this three-year-old class might be okay as we move to next year. Speaking of next year, it sounds like they may take Maximum Security and point for the Pegasus. We'll see where that winds up. Coming out of the races yesterday at Aqueduct, it's that time of year. It's a funny time of year, but reading the follow-ups by Dave Grenig in the Racing Form, a lot of the connections were just kind of, hey, we're going south, you know, for the winter. Normally, you win a big stakes race in the middle of summer, and it's, hey, we're pointing for this next out. We'll see if we can get there. But at this time of year, it's the end of the year, and there's still, it's just kind of, we're heading to Florida. We'll see what works out for the next start. And for most of the winners and interesting horses yesterday, that was what they were coming out of the race with. But as I say, Maximum Security, they did at least mention the Pegasus as a possibility. All right, let's take a look at the two-year-olds. The Remsen for me just kind of fell apart. I like Cleon Jones. I also thought Alpha 66 was going to be a little bit interesting. Chase Tracker, Forza D'Oro, the two horse was one that I was interested to see. We had talked about that quite a bit yesterday on the Handicapper Report and then Racing Across America. Forza D'Oro. And again, I was interested to see would that one hold up as the favorite, as it was the morning line favorite, but no, wound up going off the fourth choice at 5-1. So the betting public tilted away from that one a little bit and did go for Todd Pletcher's Alpha 66. Alpha 66 winds up sixth. Forza D'Oro winds up eighth. And it is Shotsky, the number six horse here, winning it easily. Well, it does. There is a late run from Shadwell Kieran horse, Aja Weed. And so the chart margin is eventually half a length, but they're 3 3/4 in front of the other. But as I say, easily in that, you never really thought Shotsky was going to get beaten here. It's just Aja Weed ground that one down to make it a shorter margin. Shotsky coming up from Laurel Base, had debuted at Kentucky Downs in an expensive maiden special on the turf. Didn't show much there. Broke the maiden in the next start pretty easily at Laurel on the dirt. And then went down to Kentucky Downs, went down to Churchill Downs, and tried the Street Sense and wound up running fourth in there. Silver Prospector came out of a third in that race to win the Kentucky Jockey Club down at Churchill last week. Shotsky was going to go in that race, but due to the track condition, scratched and went up here. And as I said, on your Empire ticket, you probably would have had to search a little bit for that. But given that story, given the good performance by Silver Prospector last week, you may have used that to flatter Shotsky. It's one you could have certainly tilted towards. I didn't, but I could see you doing that, particularly if you'd gone a little bit lighter, if you'd picked up a couple of those singles, Maximum Security, Spikes, Perfection, and were able to go a little bit deeper. He was playable. Now becomes an interesting horse. They said they're going to go back down to their Laurel Base where trainer Jeremiah O'Dwyer is based and kind of make some decisions from there what they'll do with Shotsky going forward. But you win a race like the Grade 2 Remsen, a couple wins now in four career starts. Clearly you have a horse that is at least at this point on the Derby trail, so some decisions have to be made. They have some nice three-year-old stakes at Laurel in the winter, certainly, but you would think, given what he showed yesterday in the Remsen, they will kind of take a look. I think the trainer, the article I read out said, also had some horses down at Fairgrounds in the winter. Wouldn't be surprised if then this horse winds up down there and takes that trail, but we'll keep our eyes on Shotsky going forward. On the two-year-old girls' side of things yesterday, the Demoiselle, I kind of alluded to this earlier. I liked Lake Avenue, but we talked about it in the Handicapper's Report yesterday. 12-horse field originally, and Lake Avenue was on the outside at a mile and an eighth. That was going to be a chore down at Aqueduct. Subsequently, a couple of scratches moved this one in a couple of spots in the post. Still the outside post position, however. I like Lake Avenue, 9-2 on the morning line. Maiden breaker in the last start was phenomenal. So that this one gets away at 4-1 was just amazing. But a great ride from Junior Alvarado. Got good position from the gate and took him all the way around. Chart margin winds up to be 4 lengths as this horse just looks phenomenal. Despite that outside post position, Medine, the number 2 horse, gets up for 2nd. And Blame Debbie runs 3rd, the 9 horse. Medine, Mark Hennig runner from Cortland, who had won the Tempted in the last start, now puts a 2nd in the Demoiselle. So she'll be a player as a 3-year-old, but the winner is the one to pay attention to. Very lightly raced. Godolphin, Billmott, Tappet out of 7th Street, some royal breeding there. 2nd in the career debut at Belmont. And then, as I say, the maiden breaker at Aqueduct. It was against a field of 4, but she did it the way you're supposed to. She just ran away and hit from that group. So yesterday was kind of her coming out party as far as stakes, certainly, but coming out party also as far as validating what we saw in that maiden breaker in the prior start. Lake Avenue wraps up her 2-year-old season with a very good effort winning the Demoiselle, but sets herself up very nicely for a 3-year-old filly season that certainly will be pointed towards the Kentucky Oaks and races like that up here, the Alabama and the Coaching Club American Oaks, perhaps. It's early, but certainly what we've seen so far in the first 3 starts says Lake Avenue is one to contend with. All right, wanted to show one more stake from yesterday. There were really a few more, but on the graded side of things, the Gopher Juan. And just wanted to show this because Spice Perfection, again, I used her as a single yesterday on my Empire 6 ticket, but I said I'm not sure given the distance. I'm not sure how she's going to take to the mile, but she may just class out over this bunch, and that's exactly what happened. Spice Perfection, the number 3 horse, gets the lead. Top of the stretch, it looks like they're bunching up. Maybe she'll be challenged, but no. Instead, she pulls away, opens things up. Final chart margin of 2.25 lengths for Spice Perfection. Cigarro Road runs 2nd. Our Supernova runs 3rd. A couple of the other logical contenders, but she's just a Spice Perfection. Never in any kind of danger here coming down the stretch. Wins it, pays $4.80. Nice wrap-up to the 4-year-old season coming out of the 4th place finish last time in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, a win in the TCA at Keeneland just before that. So again, hats off to the connections who kind of came out of that Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint and pointed over here, said, hey, $250,000 up for grabs in a grade 3 event. Let's take our shot. And so added a little juice to that really nice stakes card yesterday at Aqueduct, bringing in a horse. Fun to see those Breeders' Cup horses come back and get at least another start at the end of the year. And that happened yesterday a couple of times with the card yesterday at Aqueduct. All right, before we go to a break, let's hit on a couple of races out at La Salle because we have the 2-year-old fillies and the 2-year-old boys, both short fields, but we'll start with the Futurity for the boys' side of things. And O Dioro was the one that was going to be a little bit interesting. That horse, and O Dioro, the one horse, came out of a really close-up second-place finish last time in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile behind Storm the Court, the upset winner. And O Dioro went off at 28-1 that day and was just a head behind the winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. That was only start number 2 for the horse. This is start number 3. Number 1 in, and O Dioro, though, winds up, a hard luck, close-up 2nd, as you can see, over the track that was labeled good and sealed. 1,000 words, the number 3 horse wins for Flavian Pratt and Bob Baffert. And O Dioro 2nd, high velocity. The other Baffert horse runs 3rd. But as you can see, kind of a ding-dong battle here with an O Dioro getting a little bit in front there, it looked like, but a gutsy comeback for the Baffert horse, 1,000 words. So it does wind up to be Baffert and 1,000 words over an O Dioro. But I think both of those come out of this. You would think the connections have positive thoughts going into the 3-year-old season when the calendar turns in about 3 weeks. Buyer number, did get a couple buyer numbers on these races. Steve Bick was out there, our buddy, and tweeted out buyer numbers. That was a 91 for 1,000 words yesterday in the LaSalle Futurity. And at this time of year, 91 for a two-year-old, pretty good number. 89 buyer for the winner of the Starlet Grade 1 event. And Bast, I was kind of surprised Bast went off as the 2-1 second choice. Donna Veloci was the 3-10 favorite. But it does wind up to be Bast. I guess the number that Donna Veloci fired in the career debut kind of jumped out of people and then came back to run second to British Idiom in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. So I'm not arguing that they made this horse the favorite, but I just thought off the experience overall, Bast was maybe more interesting than the 2-1 price. To me, these should have been just a little bit closer, perhaps, in odds. But once again, on the inside, the Baffert horse just will not let the outside horse go by, and Bast gets it done. Career victory number 3 and career start number 5. That's going to be a couple of grade one victories, actually 3 grade one victories now for Bast. So the Del Mar debutante, the Chandelier, and yesterday's Starlet. I would think British Idiom with the win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly probably has that eclipse wrapped up. So much weight goes to those Breeders' Cup races. But I suppose Bast yesterday made that category kind of interesting. We will know in a few weeks as Eclipse Award voting will get underway and things will be announced in probably about a month or so, a little bit over that, I suppose. But again, nice performance yesterday from Baffert overall. I think I read he had 5 winners on the day yesterday at LaSalle. So a big day winning the 2 stakes and some other races as well for Bob Baffert yesterday at LaSalle. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do a little handicapping this afternoon for Aqueduct, give you some ideas on the Aqueduct card. And then again, going to wrap things up a little bit early because with the 11:50 post at Aqueduct, that typically means talking horses will probably start in 15 minutes or so. So we'll come back, do a little handicap and wrap it up and get you down to the big A for the Sunday card. Stay tuned.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be. County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Here's some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off-Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vance Flicks Bar, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. I had one more replay to show, racing across the ocean, as it were. I wanted to go back to a race from Kempton in England from Thursday because it was the debut of Royal Delta's lone offspring. She had complications foaling this horse and subsequently passed away. So Royal Delta, who we remember, pulled up the record here. She was phenomenal for Belmont. 12 wins and 22 starts, almost $5 million in the bank. Up here at Saratoga, 2013, she won the Personal Ensign. 2011, she won the Alabama. She won the Breeders' Cup Distaff, which at the time was called the Ladies' Classic. She won that a couple of times. So we certainly remember Royal Delta up here in Saratoga. But her lone offspring had the career debut on Thursday at Kempton, which is a synthetic track in England. Field of 14. She is going to win this one. She is called Delta's Royalty. And she's going to get it done here for trainer Roger Varian, Jack Mitchell on board. And again, the ownership group had commented months ago that she was working like a good one, looked like a good one. And so the career debut this past Thursday. And again, it was a Kempton over the synthetic. But it was the career debut. They got her off to a start, and they got her off to a winning start here, and she does get it done. Delta's Royalty. Delta's Royalty is the name of the horse, and she will be one to kind of watch next year as a three-year-old moving forward. Mile race, got it done against 13 others in there. Kempton on Thursday, the lone offspring of Royal Delta running in Europe. Delta's Royalty. Off to a winning debut effort. All right, let's give some thoughts on. I'll take a look at the late pick four at Aqueduct, maybe give you some ideas there that you can also incorporate into a late pick five ticket if you'd like to. And scratches are up. They are still on the turf. Turf listed as good. So there are scratches up, and we will kind of take a look at those as we go through this sequence. In the seventh race at Aqueduct today, which kicks off that late pick four. Allowance non-winners are one other than. 6 furlongs the trip. I have it 4, 8, 2, and 3. And you're going to scratch the 5. Take Charge Aubrey is out. But for me, number 4, newly minted on top, Linda Rice trainee. New York bred stepping in against open company. However, this is a pretty talented New York bred runner for Linda Rice. Has been racing since breaking the maiden in the career debut back in April. Steady string of stakes races, New York bred stakes races, but obviously some pretty good competition in those. Some notable, you know, some familiar New York bred stakes level names this horse has been facing off against. 4 wins and 6 starts, I think, is kind of a cozy fit. You know, 4 wins and 6 starts, but in state bred company. So now gets to be a cozy fit in this open company, non-winners of one other than. We'll put newly minted on top. Bridalwood Cat could be a little bit interesting off of the maiden breaker. Debuted down at Tampa in March. Yeah, showed some speed that day, but faded. And I often say, lightly raced horses like this, if they take a break, they can come back improved. That's exactly what happened for Bridalwood Cat. Laid off from that a little bit disappointing debut effort in March at Tampa. Laid off until the 13th of October at Belmont, came back and dusted a field there, went off by almost 12 lengths. I think Bridalwood Cat, off of that effort, signals that she may have some talent. And Carrizo in the third spot. The win two back was pretty nice in a starter allowance up at Saratoga. Tried this company last time and, I don't know, disappointed a little bit. But there's a couple of back numbers that are good enough. This is one of those, a little bit inconsistent. I suppose you can also make the case this is one of those good, bad patterns, which I never know whether to buy into or not. But over the last 4 races, it has been good, bad, and this is, today would be a good race. We'll see. But I think Carrizo playable again on a potential better effort. Jeremiah Englehart has Stones in the Road, who I think probably has to step it up a little bit. To me, the top three. I like newly minted quite a bit in here. But if you're going to play around, the top three look like the ones you would have to get through. Seventh race at Aqueduct, 4, 8, 2, and 3. Eighth race at Aqueduct, there is a scratch in here. No scratches in the eighth. No scratches in the eighth. We are good. In the eighth, state bird optional claimer, non-winners of 2. I have it 7, 1, 9, and 5. The number 7 is Duke's Point. I just thought overall the numbers on this horse were pretty good. Held up as far as recent numbers. Some of them have some back numbers that are good and maybe better. But this one, as I say, has been fairly consistent over the last few races. So I'm going to tilt there with, you know, not a super strong opinion. But as I say, I just think, you know, overall consistent over the last three or four recently. And that is maybe a little more than some of these in here. Storm Profit comes in off a big number last time, but it wasn't off the turf or on a sloppy sealed track. I'm not sure that the track condition will be as beneficial today as that was, although this horse may have just been moving in the right direction. The last three buyers have moved forward nicely, so just maybe in a good spot now on the form cycle, so that makes Storm Profit playable. Daneberry in the third spot has plenty of early speed. Showed a little bit of that last time, but just could not sustain that. At the two turns, the mile and an eighth, that speed may be a little more interesting today at what might be a price off of a little bit of a dud last time. So maybe there's your value there. Wrapped, I think, is a player as well, but that's one of those that has some back numbers, also some back numbers on the turf. But the dirt race two back was okay. So Wrapped to me, also a player maybe at a price. This race, I think, is fairly wide open. As I say, I don't jump in with a lot of confidence, but in the eighth at Aqueduct, 7, 1, 9, and 5. Race number 9 at Aqueduct today, the Fall Highway. Going to be fun because we talked to our friend Anthony Stabile on Racing Across America yesterday. He said this will be his first stakes race call. So we wish the big A, Anthony Stabile, we wish him a lot of luck with his first call for a stakes race. He does very well with the calls. He's, you know, plugged in. One or two every couple of days or so, it seems like. And as they say, he's doing a good job. I said to him yesterday, a job that I'm sure I would fumble with. And it's always fun to hear when a track occasionally lets an amateur jump into the booth. You can see no matter how you study, it all falls apart pretty quickly. But Anthony has been doing great down there, as they say, calling races now for probably a few months. We'll see what he does with the stakes race this afternoon, the Fall Highway. There is a scratch in here, the number 2, Nicodemus. I have that one second in my mix, so my top pick stays my top pick. No surprise, Recruiting Ready. 3, 4, 6 for me. Recruiting Ready, just a bona fide stakes quality sprinter. Comes out of a nice stakes win last time down at Churchill. Three starts back, another nice win at Churchill. Both of those were with triple-digit buyer numbers. On a best effort, it seems like Recruiting Ready probably stands out over this field. Strike Power is the question mark. Strike Power had that great start to the career, and really since that early portion of the career has kind of struggled to validate that, but does manage to show that talent, flash it again occasionally. If it's Strike Power's day and the horse is coming out of a nice bullet workout, Strike Power could again be a player this afternoon. See This Quick in the third spot. Again, on a best effort, this horse can probably be up in the mix as well. But on a best and not even a best effort, I think Recruiting Ready probably has this bunch at its mercy. We will see. And as it is the Fall Highway, should mention that Recruiting Ready also has 132 pounds to tote around that could make a big difference this afternoon. But in the ninth at Aqueduct, 3, 4, and 6. And wrapping up the late pick for race number 10 at Aqueduct, State Bred Maiden Claimers going 6.5. I have it 3, 4, 7, and 12. There are two scratches in here. The 8Es, the 13, and the 14 go out. Cruising Strong, Brad Cox trainee. Couple of starts, couple of seconds. Claimed out of the debut back in September. Followed up in similar company and just missed again. So a couple of close-up second-place finishes. Second off the claim. Kathleen on board. Seems logical to me. High School Crush in the second spot. Couple of starts, couple of third place finishes. Third place finishes, both behind the top pick. So I think this one, if you like the top pick, you have to throw High School Crush in the mix as well. And then Welsh Gold in the third spot. Nice improvement start one to start two. That was also a move from Maiden Special Company to Maiden Claiming Company. And it was a fourth place finish, pretty good fourth place finish behind my top two picks. So we'll see. If these kind of come together to run in a similar fashion as they did in that November 17th race, if they do, easy prediction, 1-2-3 after they ran 2-3-4 in the last event. We'll see how that works out, however. In today's finale, 10th race at Aqueduct, 3-4-7-12. All right, I'm going to wrap things up. As I said, early start today at Aqueduct. I'm also told there's an early start today at Gulfstream. They're going to get underway before noontime as well. So breakfast at the races, and we'll be talking about it on OTB Live this afternoon, or this morning as it were. We'll kick off probably in an hour or so with OTB Live and get underway and talk about some of the action this afternoon and this morning to kick things off. But we'll also toss the harness track into the mix and more, so stay tuned for that. Don't forget, it's an NFL Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. We would love to see you down here enjoying the football action and the racing action that happens every Sunday throughout the NFL season. Football Sundays here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. And I'll also mention again, we are a Toys for Tots drop-off point. Bring in an unwrapped toy and drop it in our box out by the front door and put a smile on the face of a youngster during this Christmas season. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Again, nice day of racing yesterday. To kind of put a real exclamation point on the New York racing season as far as top-level stakes. Still going to be a lot of great stuff during the winter months as well, but that Grade 1 Cigar Mile, again, puts a real exclamation point on things with a nice win by Maximum Security. Two 2-year-old races that offered up some horses to watch going forward. Also the two 2-year-old races out in Southern California with some horses to watch out in that direction as well. So a nice day of racing yesterday. It continues today. And as I say, with an early start at both Aqueduct and Gulfstream, we'll be underway fairly shortly. I expect the Talking Horses crew to jump on board down at the Big A momentarily. So we'll wrap it up and get you to the pregame show at Aqueduct momentarily. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Again, be back in about an hour or so. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.